Well, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
It's good to see y'all. And it's a special day for me. It's me and my wife's anniversary.
Amen.
17 years. Amen. That's a blessing. So I appreciate that. God's been real good. And I sure appreciate all that he's done for us in our lives. He's made the difference.
Oh, yes, brother.
And I'm thankful for it. So, we're coming down toward the end of Psalm 23 here, and we've been down in verse number 5 for several weeks now. And Lord willing, we'll wrap up verse number 5 today and maybe even get into verse 6. We'll see. But I want to read this psalm again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over."
Hey.
And mine's running over this morning.
Right,
but
yes.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Right.
All the days of my life. And they already have.
Hey.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, boy, God's been good.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'll get there in a minute. But God's been real good to me.
Hey.
And my cup is running over, so well, we've been looking and we've seen how God's made preparation and how he's provided. And we've seen the presence of the enemy, but I'm glad, Lord, that when we're in the presence of the enemies, we're in the presence of the Lord too.
Yes.
And then we've seen the purpose. But right here, he says, "My cup runneth over." And what I find here is that we have plenty.
Hey.
We have plenty. And so in that phrase, "My cup runneth over," I'm glad that, in the arms of God, there's always plenty.
Yes.
There's never been a shortage. Never been a shortage. And you say, "Well, what in the world's he talking about?" Well, in Psalm 16:5, the Bible says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." So when we're talking about my cup here, what I believe the psalmist is talking about, he's talking about his portion or his lot, what's coming his way. And he's picturing that thing as a cup that is made, as you know, a cup is made to hold something. And all that he knows is that what he's got volume in his cup is greater than his cup will hold, Brother Joe.
Right.
He said, "My cup's only so big, Lord. But you filled it to overflowing." And boy, he's been that way to us, hadn't he? And so he says, "My cup runneth over." And so the question I ask you today is, why did David say, "My cup runneth over"? And I don't know, honestly, before this time in David's life when he wrote this, I don't really know what all God had done for him up to this point. But what I know is that he had enough of God that it was more than he understood he could handle. And God had blessed him so abundantly that he understood that it was more than his cup could hold. And every one of us could say the exact same thing. But, you know, as I'm applying that to my life, I can also say, as I already have, my cup runneth over.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because, you see, he gave me more than I ever bargained for.
Right.
He gave me more than I ever dreamed of.
Yep.
When I came to Christ, I wasn't asking for any of the blessings that he's given me. But Jerry, I just knew I was lost without hope.
Praise the Lord.
He showed me that I was a sinner.
Yes.
And I was headed for hell.
Thank God.
And apart from him, I had no hope, nothing.
Right.
I got out of my seat that night, come down to the altar.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, save me, have mercy on me. That's all I knew to say. That's all I asked for.
Oh, yes,
I just asked for mercy. Just asked him to deliver me. And I got so much more.
Hey.
So much more. More than I ever bargained for. And I thought, you know, this is tied to the previous statements here in Psalm 23 where he just got through saying, he said, thou anointest my head with oil. And he said, my cup runneth over. And he got more than he bargained for. But I started looking, Kevin, and I started thinking, what are all the things, you know, he's tying these two together.
Yep.
And so I got to thinking, Lord, what are some of the things that he's really got in his mind as he's writing, my cup runneth over, and he's tying it to his anointing. And so I went back through the Psalms and I started looking at every time that it referred to the anointed of the Lord and all the blessings that come because he's the anointed of the Lord.
Right.
And so I just made a list. You go study these yourself. But some of the benefits of being the Lord's anointed, I just wrote down a little list here. But I found that the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalm that there's protection for the anointed. And there's always mercy for the anointed. And there's deliverance for the anointed. There's salvation for the anointed. And there's always an audience with the Lord for the anointed. There's strength for the anointed. And there's gladness. And he's always watching us. And there's light. And there's grace. And there's glory. And there's an establishment, and he's always faithful, and he'll exalt his anointed.
Hey, sure.
You find every one of those in the book of Psalm if you go back and look. And I think David was looking over his life, Joe, and seeing how that God was doing all these things, and he had done nothing to earn any of it.
Hey.
And if you're honest, anytime you stop for just a moment, and you start going back and thinking of all the things that God's done for you, and you will recognize that you don't deserve not an ounce of it, your cup will run over too.
Yep. Right.
And I really think that's what happened right here. So David just started looking and thinking about all the things that God had done for him. Just because he was a sheep, Brother Jerry. And it was more than he could handle. And the words that he had to say was, my cup runneth over.
Right.
That was the words he had. But as I started thinking and going through this in my mind, asking the Lord, how do you even present something like this? I couldn't help but think, you know, David's talking about his cup. And I thought, Lord, well, apart from the Lord, what does my cup look like? The Bible tells us, do you know that?
Yes, sir.
Look with me over at Psalm chapter 11.
Yep.
Psalm chapter 11. You can write in your Bible. I wrote in my Bible right here, this is the cup that I deserve. We'll just read this whole chapter because it's a good one. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Right.
The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Ain't it amazing that God can say he hates the wicked, but yet he demonstrated such love for them? I don't understand that, but God did it. He still hates sin, folks.
Oh, yes.
If he ever did, he still does today. But verse 6 says, upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. What does it say next? This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So what I find that you and I deserve is right here in Psalm 11:6. We deserve snares. We deserve fire and brimstone. And I deserve the tempest.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's what we deserve, Brother Doug, and that's what every one of us, apart from Christ and his mercy, that's what we should get. We deserve it.
You're right.
That is what we deserve. And if we could ever wrap our minds truly around what we deserve, we'd be a different people.
Amen.
But I fail to realize what I deserve sometimes. But that's the cup that you and I deserve. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, he traded cups.
Yes.
With you and I.
What about that?
See, that's what we deserved. But he took what I deserved and gave me what he deserves. Matthew 26:36. You know these passages are real familiar, hopefully. Matthew 26:36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You see right there, he's starting to taste of the cup that you and I deserve.
Oh, yes.
He says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful,
go ahead,
even unto death. Something he'd never tasted before, he was about to taste, because he was drinking mine and your cup.
Yes.
See, that's what we deserved. He said, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further.
Thank God for that. Praise God.
I'm glad he didn't just stop at a taste. Hey, he didn't stop at a taste.
Praise
Kevin.
The Lord.
He didn't stop at a taste, but he took the whole thing.
Yep.
He drank all of it. Mine and your cup. He drank them all. So he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was not talking about what he deserved. He was talking about what he was going to take on the behalf of you and on the behalf of me. He was talking about what we deserve right there. He said, in the flesh, I do not want what they have coming to them. But Lord, if it's your will,
thank God,
I'm going to take it anyway. So he said, Lord, take it from me.
Hey.
If it's your will. You see, that's proving Jesus' humanity. He did not want to suffer those things physically. No more than you or I would. But the thing was, he was so spiritual. He's so full of God because he was God. His spiritual overcame his humanity. And so we see that spiritual come forth and shine through. And we see the God-man Christ Jesus taking our place, becoming our substitution right here.
Yep.
Folks, this is good stuff.
Hey,
and if you don't understand it, you just need to study it a little while. But he took what I had coming.
Yep.
He took my place. And so he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, boy, that's a good word. Nevertheless, not as I will. He said, not what my flesh desires. He said, not that. He said, but as thou wilt.
Right.
And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Just like we are oftentimes when something real spiritual is going on, we're sleeping. Sleeping through it. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? He says, what?
Yeah, brother.
Oh, why? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
He was referring to his own spirit and flesh there too. You understand, his flesh was weak at this point. But his spirit was what? It was still willing. So he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father,
yes, if
this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it."
Yes.
He didn't say, except I taste it. He said, except I drink it.
All of it. Yes, sir.
Every bit of it.
Hey.
Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words.
Right.
Folks, what he was doing was putting himself in our place. And he willingly took what you and I deserved. And it did not start at the cross. It started well before the cross. But I'm thankful for it. But then I got to thinking about all those things that that cup held. And I couldn't help but think about John 3:36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him.
Right.
You see, in our life, when we were in unbelief, guess what we had on us? We had the wrath of God abiding on us. So he took that wrath, and you say, well, that don't sound that bad. Well, Jeremiah 10:10 describes it this way. He says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Folks, we don't understand. We've never seen his wrath, Kevin. Nobody here has seen the wrath of God. We've heard about it. We anticipate it one day. There's coming a day of great tribulation on this earth when his wrath will be poured out. But folks, that same wrath that we're anticipating abideth on the unbeliever.
That's right.
And apart from the mercies of God, folks, if he were to withdraw his mercy, every bit of that wrath, every bit of that indignation that he's talking about, Dustin, it would just be like the windows of heaven just opened up and all of that would fall on you and I. That brimstone, that fire, folks, it's what we deserve. And it's literally hovering over us like a cloud over the unbeliever. And if the Lord were to open that thing up and let it come down, but that's, we fail to see ourselves standing in that light.
You're right.
But that's the truth of God's Word. That is what we look like in the eyes of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a reality.
That's right.
We're not talking about something that's just a fairy tale. This is very spiritual. And that's why we can't see it. This is spiritual stuff. But folks, that is what you and I deserve. But thanks be to God that Christ took it. He took every bit of it.
Hey.
And now, I believe it's the book of Romans, about chapter 5, maybe verse 19 or something like that. Maybe 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us that no longer we're not appointed under wrath.
That's right.
Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
know how to explain it. But all I know is that there was a substitution made, and he traded my cup, what I deserved, for his cup. And he got all of mine, and I got all of his. And Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." He took my stripes for me. He took stripes and I got healing. And if you're born again today, you did too. That's good, ain't it? And 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Right. Hebrews 2:9, we quote this all the time, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Whose death was that supposed to be? Yours and mine. That's what it was, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should what? Taste death for every man. Folks, he took what was yours so that you could have what was his.
That's right.
There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than the day that you make that trade with the Lord Jesus. He's getting the bad end of the deal.
Oh, yes.
But he's willing to do it. That's hard to understand. Most people ain't willing to take a bad deal, Brother John, knowing that it's a bad deal. But he did. He got the worst of it. Where would we be, Nathaniel? Not for that. If not for what he did for us. And Hebrews chapter 6. So he tasted all that. The Lord tasted all that. But now look at what Hebrews chapter 6 teaches us that we got to taste.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 6, and apart from some people's belief, this is not teaching you can lose your salvation. I want to clarify that. What he's saying is if you were able to lose it, you couldn't get it back.
That's right.
It'd be impossible. So anyway, but we're not dealing with that today. But Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted what? Of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." If, just so you know, if you could lose it, you'd have to crucify Christ again.
That's right.
And that is not happening. So we're not falling away. You ain't got to worry about that. We're kept by the power of God. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. I can't get away from him. He follows me everywhere I go. Hey, he's in me and I'm in him. And I'm secure. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. He gave me the earnest of the Spirit in my heart. So all that stuff is, you don't have to worry about it. But what he's saying is if you could lose it, if you could fall away, no hope in getting it back.
That's right.
No hope.
Hey.
No hope in getting it back. Christ is not coming and dying again.
Right.
He came one time in the flesh.
Right.
He entered once into the holiest. Brother, that's all. That's all he's doing. He's done everything that he's going to do.
Praise God.
He's not doing it again.
Tell it, brother.
So, man, we're getting into all kinds of good doctrine today, ain't we? That's good stuff.
Good.
I like it.
Me too.
I like it. Sometimes it's better than just scratching the surface. So we like to get down in there sometimes into that good stuff. So I'm glad we get to. But anyway, so what this is teaching us is that if you have been born again, if you have been able to experience what he's talking about, if you've tasted of the heavenly gift, if you've been a partaker of the Holy Ghost, if you've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, how did you get that? Because he took your cup. And because he took yours, he gave you a taste of his. He said, "How do you like this? How does this taste compared to what you should have got?" Oh my, brother, I'm getting there in just a second. So anyway, folks, Romans 8:17 teaches us that if we're children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. How did we get that? Because that was his cup. That's how we got it. He was the Son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father. But guess what? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, right? But we know, amen, we're going to be like him, amen. We're going to see him as he is. Right. Folks, we got what we got, Brother Doug, because he took ours. He took ours. What a substitution. What a trade. Brother Matthew, you trade on cars all the time. There's no better. You've never had a trade like this one, brother.
Hey.
You never had one like this one. It don't get no better. And see, that's why today I stand up here and you say, man, he's a nut. Well, my cup is literally running over today and I can't hardly help it. And you say, well, why in the world do you feel that way? Well, I traded my sin for his righteousness.
Hey.
I traded my death for his life, my hell for his heaven, my justice for his mercy, my filthy rags for his righteousness, my darkness for his light, my destruction for his salvation, my corruption for his incorruption, hey, my mortality for his immortality. Hey, you just go on down the line. I mean, that's just a few things. I traded everything, Brother Jesse, that I was, everything that I deserved. I traded the day that I got born again. He said, hey, I'll take everything you are and I'll give you everything that I am. You don't deserve it. Oh my, folks, that's what grace is. That's what mercy is. Folks, it don't get no better than that. It don't get no better than that than to just relinquish. Do you remember what it felt like the night you came and you had such a heavy load and you understood that, Lord, if I died today, I'd end up in hell. But you came down and you just laid that at the feet of Jesus. And he said, I'll take it all. He said, I'll take it all and I'll give you everything that I have. Oh, glory to God. Ain't that good? I can't hardly help it this morning. Oh, my, folks. Oh, my. Boy, God's been good to us. And it's all because of his grace. It's all because of his mercy. But it all happened because there was a day that the Lord came to me. And man, I got a taste of something that I'd never tasted before. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 53. The Bible says down in verse 53, boy, the people that heard this didn't like it. But I like it today. John chapter 6, verse 53, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live in me.
Right.
This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And so I'm thankful that there was a day that I got a bite and a taste of something that I'd never had before. And man, it still tastes good today. And honestly, it's just one of those things that gets better with time, gets better with age. Folks, I didn't understand all this the day I got saved. I had no earthly idea. And if you're honest, you did not either. But that's why salvation's so good. It gets better with time.
Yes.
It never wears out. Folks, ain't it good to be born again? It's good to be saved. So Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. But it's not only just in him, but what about his word? Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Folks, if you're here and saved, even if you're here and not saved, he took everything that you deserve. The Bible teaches us that he tasted death for every man, it said. And it said that he will have all men be saved. And he believes in that salvation for all. for all, especially to them that believe. Or he is the Savior to all men, especially them that believe, the Bible teaches. But, folks, we just don't deserve it. But that don't change the fact that we got it. And I'm thankful for it. And Romans 4:5 sort of teaches us about it. How we got this. How did this transaction take place? Do you know how we got this? This is the righteousness which just comes by faith.
Faith, that's right.
Bible says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Bible says that his faith is counted for righteousness. We get in, Kevin, just like Abraham was able to get in. The righteousness which is by faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You say, what do I have to do to get what you're talking about today? You just have to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. But that requires, in order for you to really believe that, you got to understand what you are. Because
yes.
it don't add up if you don't understand what you are. But you get an understanding of what you are, you get an understanding of what He is, and you put your faith and trust in all that He is, you can have all that I was talking about today.
Amen.
And it's just good. I feel pretty good today. And I'm going to quit there for today. I'm just happy. I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to be one of His. I'm happy that there was a day He imputed His righteousness to me.
Yes.
And with that came His cup that I did not deserve. And He took the cup that I deserved. And what I found was His cup was a whole lot bigger than mine, because when he swapped with me, I couldn't handle it.
Hey.
And I'll never be able to handle it until I get a new body one day. And then I'll have a cup that I can hold it all. And I'll be able to understand it all. Right now, man, I look through a glass darkly. There's much. I mean, even though the Lord reveals these things to us, and I'm thankful for His Word, because apart from this, we wouldn't know none of this. We wouldn't know none of it. But I'm thankful for it. But I'm thankful that we can look forward to a day with Jesse, that even though I know these things, like right now, sometimes I come in here, and you do too. And even though I know these things, Kevin, I don't have an emotion, I don't have a feeling that expresses what I know up here, and even what I know in here. But there's going to be a day that I'm going to have a perfect knowledge and understanding, and I'm going to have a body that does not limit me in my worship. And all the flesh and all the problems and all the troubles, all the pains,
yes.
All the frustrations, they will be out of the way, Brother Kim. And we will be able to worship Him for this stuff right here like we really understand it. Won't that be a good day?
Yes.
And that's why we're not going to be playing golf in heaven. We're not going to be doing all this nonsense. We're going to go to heaven, and we're going to be with Him for eternity, and we're going to be at His feet, and anything that we have, any rewards that we get at the judgment, if we get any, we're just going to take them. We're going to say, Lord, they're all Yours. You deserve it all. I owe it all to You, Lord. All I have is Yours, Lord.
That's it.
And that's why we ought to live our lives every day. Because we're not our own anymore. We traded cups. And don't you think if we traded cups, we ought to change our lives too?
Yes.
And we ought to live a life that depicts what He wants it to depict. After all, we are bought with a price. Right? We're not our own anymore.
Hey.
So, I'm glad I don't own myself. Man, I'd bring myself destruction swiftly. But He bought me. And He bought you too. He paid for you. And, oh, brother, it's a high price. It's all the heaven had. He gave the best He had. And it was enough to save the whole world. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. I have no idea what time it is, but I'm going to quit right there today anyway. I'm going to turn it back over to the... Is it time? To go pray? I don't know. Do what? Perfect. All right. Well, I guess we'll have prayer and come back ready to worship this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I appreciate everybody's good attention.